by Whole Foods Market. For more, wholefoodsmarket.com.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live to the cosmos from the backyard at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah. That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, I've got my good buddy, Luke Carl. Luke, say hi.
Hello.
Luke just put out a new book called The Drunk Diet, How I Lost 40 Pounds Wasted. And yeah, so let's talk about that today. What? Obviously, a lot of people know you as the dude from St. Jerome's.
Yeah, definitely. St. Jerome. Yeah.
And so that's actually part of the... That's where the inspiration started for the book.
Yeah, that's like the setting of the book. That's kind of where it takes place throughout the book is like 1 year of my life. And the bar was, I managed the bar, beautiful, dumpy, rock and roll heaven called St. Jerome for about five, six years. And yeah, that's like the background of the book. And yes, it's really called The Drunk Diet. That's really the name of the book.
Awesome. So... how long did it take you to write this book? Because, I mean, a lot of times people will take... seems like you had the idea for a while, but you kind of knocked this one out pretty quickly. As far as like what I understand, but there's a lot of research as well that you had to do for this book.
The whole book took about 3 years from the time I started writing it to get it on, and then to put it on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And then... but the writing process was like a year and a half. And then I had to, you know, go find myself an agent, somebody to believe in me and all this bullshit. And you know, so the actual writing of it, sitting down, just typing on my computer by myself in my home was about a year and a half. But from that very first word that I typed to getting it on the shelf was about 3 years, almost 3 years exactly, which cool. It came out last month.
All right. Dude, I've been reading it and I love it. It's hilarious. It's a really funny book, but there's a lot of very useful information in there as well. You know, like you start talking about how you're eating poorly, you know, late at night, like a lot of us bartenders do.
Yeah.
And just drinking and smoking and other things.
Yeah, I've always been a rock and roll hellraiser, you know, so like I've always not really cared about like being healthy or like never even thought about it really. And then one day I just woke up and I was fat, and I found this out because I saw a picture of myself and I was like, wow, man, I had no clue I got that fat, you know, because you just see yourself in the mirror every day, you don't even really realize it. And
yeah,
so then I went and looked for answers and all these experts just pissed me off. Basically they said you can't do this, you can't drink, you can't eat hot dogs, you can't go to baseball games and be a regular person. And I was like, nah, it's not true. I'm gonna do this my own way, and I'm gonna have fun doing it, and I'm gonna write it down. And that's how the whole thing started. And I called it The Drunk Diet just to piss them off even more.
And in the book it talks about, you know, like the South Beach diet, the carb diet, and
these are the ones that were making me upset at the time, you know, because I went looking for answers from these people to like inspire me, and all they did was make me even more upset. So then it was like a bolt of lightning said, you know what, dude, screw these people, write your own book. And I, my main goal with the book was to definitely absolutely make it funny. You know, mm-hmm. it's not a diet book. It's just like, I kind of consider it more like kind of like watching like Rocky One, like the first Rocky movie when he was smoking and drinking and Mickey was like, you got to give that shit up, you know? And now I'm a crazy psycho marathon runner guy, you know, but yeah. So it's like the anti-diet book. So that was the whole point. I didn't want to be told what to do. And I just wanted to tell people, hey, man, you can do this and have fun while you're doing it. And that's exactly what I did, because that's the way I live my life. Have fun all the time.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
You said you started running marathons. When did you decide to start doing that? Because that's like... I don't know, man. Like, I smoke and drink a lot, and I would never...
Yeah.
I might cut some stuff out of my
diet. I still drink a lot, and the book is not about that anyway. I mean, it's not the book is definitely not about, hey, you should run a marathon. It's nothing like that at all. That word itself is even, like, kind of intimidating, right. You know. But I just kind of started running to burn calories, you know, because it was just, like, the obvious thing to do. And and then I just got more into it and more into it and more into it. And then I just eventually I signed up for my first race, you know, which even the word race is so intimidating. I did like an 8K, which is 5 miles basically. And it was Thanksgiving morning in Jersey, and it was like a race. Oh my God, it's so intimidating. And then it just built from there and built from there. And then actually one of the bartenders at St. Jerome, my bar, he was also a runner, and he heard from one of the other guys that I was a runner, and it just kind of came up one day, and I asked him, you know, we got to talking, and he said he'd run two marathons. And then at that point it was like, wow, a marathon is such a weird word, you know, and you don't even know what it means really. But then when you're in the same room with somebody that's done it, it instantly becomes infinitely more tangible. So then I was like, wow, if this guy can do it and he's drinking in the bar, maybe that's something that it wasn't like, I want to run a marathon. That was never something that crossed my mind ever. It just was like, I was more interested in chicks and booze and cigarettes, you know. But then when I met this guy, I was like, wait a minute, holy shit, you know. And there's honestly, there's nothing more rock and roll than like going out there and busting your ass for 4 hours, you know, running straight. Because that's what rock and roll is all about, excess. It's all about excess. And that's why I think I relate to running so much, is because it's like, I don't know, more.
Yeah. Awesome.
So that's my story about the marathons. And in 3 weeks, I'm running my fifth marathon, the Jersey Marathon.
Holy shit.
The Jersey Shore.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Down at the Stone, I'll be at my hotel's right next to the Stone Pony. So.
Oh, killer.
Yeah.
That's badass.
Riding my bike down there, that'll be great.
Yeah, totally. Mm. Actually, riding bikes as well is like, it's an awesome, even like motorcycles, it, you know, for a long trip, man, it is kind of a workout. You know?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. I ride my bike too. I ride cycle every now and then. I do like the AIDS ride every year, but yeah, I ride my Harley everywhere, man. Rock and rollers don't belong on the subway.
That's right. I'm not going to tell you how I got here.
Well, shit. Well, I just put a sissy bar on my bike if you want to ride home.
We'll talk about that later. So you've been on a book tour now lately for the book. Where have you been? What have you gotten to do?
I went out to L.A. was the first stop, and that kind of was not busy at all. It was like impossible to get people there. I mean, book tours are weird, you know, and I found this out the hard way. I was lucky enough that my publisher sent me on the tour and everything, but it's kind of like, if you think about it, like, you know, do you read books? Yeah, you read books, but do you go to book signings? No. You know, I mean, unless it's like Ozzy, you know what I mean? So it was like, but like LA was ridiculously tough, and then I went down to Texas, and Austin was awesome, and I got wasted and had a great time with everybody down there, and I went to Dallas, and that was awesome. And then I went to my hometown, and it was like, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, you know, small town, and it was nuts. Like the nightly news was there, like just like, you know, the local news or whatever, and it was like 100 people there, and it was like hometown boy makes good and shit. And so that was awesome. It was like really nice to come home and show my parents that I did something with my life, even though I was making way more money when I was bartending, but that's another story.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, they tend to go back to it.
I'm telling you, man, it's a difficult business to be in, especially if you want to be in shape, but yeah. The money's good, so.
And there's you know, even other things about, you know, running and working in a bar, it's like, I don't really exercise. I ride my bike around, you know, I feel like that's my best exercise.
That's good enough.
But then, you know, like going up and down the stairs and throwing kegs around.
Oh, yeah.
And shaking drinks, you know.
Absolutely. It's definitely a huge workout, bartending. Yeah, for sure. You know, yeah, lifting all those cases all night, every night, and dealing with drunk people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a workout for sure. Yeah.
So I think we're about at the point of the show where we could take a break. And then when we get back, tell us, I want to hear about St. Jerome's and some of the other stuff you got going on.
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool, man. Cool. We'll be right back with Luke Carl on the Speakeasy.
I count the four. At Whole Foods Market, we review each and every product that hits our shelves. Our cleaning products are no exception. Our EcoScale ranking system rates each household cleaner so you know what you're getting. Now, during Earth Month and any time of the year, learn more at WholeFoodsMarket.com.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. We've got Luke Carl, author of the new book, The Drunk Diet. Just came out about a month ago, right?
Yeah, just about a month.
Cool, and he's been out promoting the book, throwing some parties.
That's what I do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all this was born out of, inspired by some bad late night habits from working in some rock and roll places, specifically St. Jerome.
Yep.
Tell us about St. Jerome, man.
Well, actually, what happened was is when I moved here, I eventually got myself a job in the Lower East Side selling tacos and slinging beers at this place called San Loco. And then I worked my way up in the world of bartending from there. And I got a job at this place called Welcome to the Johnsons, which is like this world-famous bar in the Lower East
Plastic
Side.
Plastic on the couches.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
And then I was working there for a while and doing like happy hour and shit, and then the boss one day just called me up and she said, "Hey, I opened a new place and I want you to come run it." Basically, make a long story short, she just gave me the keys and said, "Go," you know, because I'd already been working for her and she, you know, we had a pretty decent relationship and everything. So, that's how the whole thing started, and then I just started throwing parties with friends of mine, and we built this little teeny tiny piece of real estate into this amazing like rock and roll church where you just go and learn, you know, like I always made sure the DJs were playing cool stuff that you could learn from, you know, because rock and roll has always been such a big part of my life. I found that in that venue, I could convey the spirit of rock and roll to people more than I could personally than being on stage, because for whatever reason, and being in bands, maybe I just was never very good at it, I don't know, but I found that, holy shit, you know, these people are coming and they want to know what's the next song. It's like back when radio used to be, you know, prevalent in the rock and roll world. Right. So that's the way the whole place was born, just by me being obsessed with rock and roll and what's going to be the next thing, and like what's, you know, cool, like wear cool shit and like inspire people to wear cool shit. and that's how the whole thing started. And yeah, we just started throwing crazy parties there. And then I threw this party called World Famous Tribute to Hair Metal. And I would duct tape bottles of Aquanet to the front of the bar because there was always a line and people would be doing their hair on the way in and shit, you know? So it's just,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's hysterical. And then now I'm on Sirius XM on the radio 7 nights a week. We don't have to get into that, but
no, it's, you have a show called Hair Nation.
Yeah, I'm on a station called Hair Nation 5 nights a week on Sirius XM channel 39. And then I'm also on Ozzy Osbourne. He has his own channel,
right?
And I'm on his channel. So I can't believe every time this comes out of my mouth, I still have to pinch myself. I'm Ozzy Osbourne's weekend DJ. It's so cool, you know. So, and I'm still in the bar business. I got out of St. Jerome when I got the book deal, just because I kind of wanted to, not because I could afford it at all.
Yeah.
I don't want to get the impression that you should write a book and you'll get rich, because it's not going to happen. But you know, if it's something you believe in, absolutely. But so I got out of the bar when I got the book deal. But now I throw parties and shit. And I'll be at St. Jerome next Wednesday. I'm throwing a party there. And I'm going to do one of these booze cruises in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. We're gonna rent the whole boat out and go out on the ocean and just party our asses off on the boat and dance, our, you know, like 1987 prom music. Yeah, dude. It's going to be cool.
So that's awesome. Actually, you hosted one of the parties that our band played at Gramercy Theater. That was it was an awesome night.
Oh man, I don't remember much of it, but yeah, it was
I remember somehow we got into the liquor room and we had probably about 10 cases of beer before we even went on stage.
I know, I showed up late and these guys were in there and there was already two empty cases in the trash can. I'm like, holy shit, these guys don't mess around.
That's
and that's when I knew we would be friends.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Cool, man. And wait, so like, getting back a little bit to the book too, you actually have the website's the drunkdiet.com.
Yeah.
And well, that's like your kind of blog. You got your Twitter and exactly. Tumblr feed on there.
Well, what happened was that whole thing happened because I this chick came into my bar and she used to date a friend of mine. And this is back when I was trying to get the book deal and, you know, like the birth of the whole putting it on the shelf. And this chick, her name was Nikki, and I knew she worked in the book business. I knew she was like some sort of agent or something. I didn't really know what that meant, but I sat her down. She was at my bar and I was like, hey, you know, I'm working on this book, you know, and I got kind of like the eye roll, you know, like, cause she gets it all the time, you know, it's like, oh, hey, I was wondering if I could play drums in your band, like whatever, you know, but, so I sat her down and I was like, I'm working on this book. And she's like, tell me about it. And I told her, and I said, it was nonfiction about my life, you know, like this Rocky story about how I just, you know, got in shape and I still party all the time, have a good time. And she's like, well, okay. First of all, you're never going to be able to sell nonfiction ever. And I was like, well, okay, well, tell me more. Tell me more. So I just picked her brain, and it turns out she was like an agent. And then at some point in the conversation, she says to me, she says, you need a blog. You need to make yourself important to the point where a publisher is going to notice you, you know, I literally said, what the heck is a blog? Had no clue. You know what I mean? I've heard the word before. The word itself is so pretentious. And, the next day I went out and I bought drunkdiet.com. So actually the website came after I wrote the book, or after, you know, about three quarters of the way through the book. And what happened was I built this website, and then, it started out as excerpts from the book, like stuff that, I had written that I didn't quite like in the book itself, so they kind of made their way onto my desktop as like extras or whatever, you know, like, you know, this didn't work, but we're still keeping it because it's kind of interesting. So those were the original blogs, quote unquote. I still hate that word, but and then I just started. I would wake up every day and just write my insanity on my website, and then I tied it into Twitter, and I just shoved myself down everybody's throat every single day. And the Twitter thing, I at some point I realized that Twitter allows you to follow 1,000 people per day maximum. So that was my new goal.
Whoa.
Every day, still, I literally every day I follow 1,000 people. Like I'll go to the Runner's World Twitter. And I'll go to their followers, and I'll just follow all their followers until I can't follow anymore. And that's how I built up my Twitter. And now I have 110,000 followers. And just from shoving myself down people's throats, literally, like, okay, if you don't pay attention to me, I'm going to come back until you do pay attention to me. So the point of following those people was hoping that they would follow me back.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then every day I'm posting on the website just my stupid crap. Like, I went for a run today, you know, but I tried to make it funnier, you know, and that's how the whole website started. And make a long story long, it's been June. This coming June will be 2 years, and I've had 2 million hits on my website. And I did it all myself, no bullshit, no advertising or anything like that. And I still give everything away on my website. Everything is free. I don't sell anything on my website. You can get t-shirts. I was wearing one earlier, but I went to spin class and it got all sweaty. But yeah, so everything on my website is free. You know, I'm just talking about the fact that anybody is remotely interested in hearing me talk about myself is like a dream come true. So please feel free to have it for free on my website, drunkdiet.com, every morning.
That's awesome.
So that's how I did it.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
And dude, I mean, like, how's the response been to the book? Because, like, you know, when we did the show in December, it was like on the flyer, you know, in the emails and stuff. And like, I like the idea of like actually doing like that kind of cross promotional thing for your parties, and then having like, oh, dude, you're all drinking, maybe you could benefit from reading this book.
Yeah. Well, you know, I needed a product when I decided I didn't want to play rock and roll anymore. It wasn't because I didn't want to be in the rock and roll business. I just wasn't making a living out of it. So I said, okay, what do I do now? And then that's when the bar thing happened. I kind of stopped playing rock and roll as much. And then I opened the bar, but it was still my rock and roll life. It just wasn't on stage anymore. And then I move forward, and then I get the serious gig, and then the book comes out. So I have all these avenues where I'm selling myself as like a rock and roll figure without being in a band. The New York Times recently called me the future of rock and roll, and I like to think of myself as like rock and roll Jesus, and not to sound like egotistical or anything, but you know what I mean. There's so many amazing records that are already out there. It's like, I don't feel like I need to write another record. I should be preaching the gospel that is already written to the younger generations. It's like, okay, you know, just because your uncle listened to the Rolling Stones, or now we're getting to the point where it's like, just because your grandfather listened to the Rolling Stones doesn't mean you can't like the Rolling Stones. When we were kids, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up and it was like Nirvana, and that shit sucked. But like, my older brother was a Guns N' Roses fan, so he would give me shit. Like, you can't be a Guns N' Roses fan. They're my band. You go listen to that new crap. But we're to the point where it doesn't matter anymore. You know, we're to the top of the mountain, and nobody would say, "Oh, you can't like Mozart because you're a Bach fan." You know what I mean? Because we're talking centuries old, and now we're getting to that point where in rock and roll, it's where it's a similar thing. You know, rock and roll is like 30, 40 years dead now. I hate to say that, but it's true if you really think about it. Yeah. So I'm preaching the gospel of all this shit, and it's okay to be a Guns N' Roses fan and a Billy Joel fan. But back in the 70s and the 80s, those guys would have tried to, you know, they wouldn't have liked each other, you know. But now it's a whole nother thing. So, like, that's my, I don't even know what the question was, but I just went off on the rock and roll tangent, man.
No, dude, speaking of that, you know, I've done a couple of shows on this show called The Bartender's Playlist. So they're all, you know, like, it's all drinking songs.
Yeah.
And it seems like you know a lot of drinking songs that would be appropriate for those. So next time I do one of those, you're going to have to come on and be my guest DJ.
I'd love to, love to, love to. Absolutely.
And we'll just drink Budweiser and play country music and rock and roll.
Sounds good to me, man. That's pretty much all I do all the time.
You don't need to be in a radio studio to do that. Cool, man. Well, the book is The Drunk Diet. It's out now. Pick it up. It is hilarious. And
you can get it on Amazon.com, actually, for $10 off the cover price. Cool. So if you get it on the website, they'll deliver it right to your house, and it's $10 cheaper.
It's actually inspired a couple of my buddies, especially one of my buddies just left this morning to go camping and hiking because of this book. And totally, man.
That's what it's all about.
There's a lot of really great information in here. It's funny. It's really, like, it's actually a quick read just because it's so entertaining. And I've been digging it, and I'm glad that it's... I actually have an advanced copy at home. It's a paperback, so
absolutely.
I'm glad you brought in the hardback today.
Yeah, man. That's yours. You get to keep it.
Cool. Thanks, man. You have to sign it after the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, my pleasure.
So, yeah, check out the website, drunkdiet.com. Also, check them out on Hair Nation.
Yeah, SiriusXM. Weeknights on Channel 39, Hair Nation, and weekend nights on Ozzy's Boneyard.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you're going to be, you said you're going to have a party at St. Jerome's.
On the 18th at St. Jerome's, Wednesday night, and it's the after party for the Guilty Pleasures, and they're playing at Bowery Electric tonight.
Tonight.
I'm going to that, and then next week, too. I'm DJing the after party at St. Jerome's, and that's a hell of a good time. Those guys are playing some cool shit.
Yes.
Having a good time.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. There'll be a lot of drinking
going on. A lot of girls, a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Luke.
My pleasure.
It's about damn time.
I know.
All right. Until next week, we'll see you. This is The Speakeasy. I'm Damon. Cheers.
Look at that look in his eye. Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. Yes, he's high.